ministry.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Let me remind you, we're talking about an issue. Is there a division between the political and Christian? Have you thought about that? Do you feel there's a division there and you shouldn't cross the line? Do you feel that somehow, some way, if you're involved in the political arena, or if you talk or are asked to vote in the political arena, speak up for a candidate? Pastors, listen to me. If you're in the pulpit, have you been frightened, afraid, timid, intimidated to name the candidate that's running and tell your congregation which candidates most closely align with the central biblicist worldview? Have you been willing to do that? If not, why not? I believe we, as Christian pastors, as Christian leaders, we have the responsibility of making sure that our congregation's informed on those that stand for murder by way of abortion, those that stand for sodomite lifestyle that stands for, and they call it simply a chosen lifestyle, those that believe that somehow, some way, God created a homosexual, etc., etc. Pastors, stop being afraid, stop being timid, stop allowing the world to intimidate you. Take a stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that therein is found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, is there a division between the political and the Christian? We were talking about just before the news break some of the things that candidates stand for that we need to understand and take a stand against their position and vote for another candidate if that's the case. Abortion is murder. The Bible warns of that. Thou shalt not kill. Homosexuality is immorality. The Bible says that God created man and woman. God says that the Bible says that God created male and female. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And ladies and gentlemen, we have those even in our Christian churches that will embrace the sodomite lifestyle. What about, ladies and gentlemen, what the politicians did during the Biden administration? 20 to 25 million illegal invaders came into America. Listen very carefully how subtle Satan works. When those illegal invaders came across the border by the hundreds of thousands, the Biden administration provided funds for the non-government organizations called NGOs. Multitudes of those NGOs were denominational hierarchy, denominational headquarters, Southern Baptist included, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholics, etc., received hundreds of millions of dollars to provide food, clothing, and shelter, a place for them to stay. Speaking of the illegal invaders, it made the Christian churches participants in the illegal act that was perpetrated on America by socialist, Marxist, communist, dictatorial, sleepy Joe, autopen Biden, Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what has happened, and if we understand history, the history past, we need to understand that it's time for us to take part in the political process, as it is called. We have that responsibility. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
doing well. Jesus in his time, when he walked through Jerusalem, you have to think about the government that he faced. He faced Rome with the prefect of Pontius Pilate, who then Rome assigned Herod as a ruler, and then also a religious hierarchy of the scribes, Pharisees, and Sanhedrin. And Jesus addressed in John quite frequently and negatively in regards to the heresy that was being perpetrated upon the Jewish people. He spoke about it quite often. And could you address how Jesus looked at those three different forms of government? I mean, Herod just wanted to see Jesus so he could see a magic trick. I mean,
that's
that
right.
Guy was just unbelievably self-centered.
Well, even when Jesus was hanging, on the cross, he basically said, "Show me a trick. Take yourself off the cross. Prove that you're God."
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the whole thing is he was dealing with three separate forms of government there, and one of those forms of government in the religious hierarchy was responsible for the Jewish citizenry and held to that responsibility through the Roman government. I mean, Rome even appointed Jewish people to collect taxes for them. That's where we get Matthew.
That's right.
He was one of the apostles.
That's right.
So when I look at that, I have to look that Christ was looking at all of these people that were in government, and he was saying some things about them that weren't flattering, but he was speaking truth. And one last point, Quincy, Massachusetts. Two of our presidents, our second and our sixth, John Adams, our second, John Quincy Adams, who was our sixth, I'm pretty sure he's our sixth, he was named after that town. They lived there. They born there. I mean, those two must be rolling in their graves, looking down and saying, "What are these people doing?"
Absolutely. Well, one of the major things, Jim, that I believe is a takeaway to what we're saying, we can look at Scripture, and we find over and over and over and over examples of how we should be involved as Christians. As, for example, Joseph was serving God within the government. You can go to Genesis 41 and following, and you find that Joseph was serving. Joseph was sold by his brothers to the Canaanites into slavery. I call it from the pit to the pinnacle, to the prime minister, as he delivered his people. Joseph was involved in government, but yet he was a godly person. You look at Moses. Moses confronted an unjust government system in Exodus, the 5th chapter. You find Daniel. He was faithful in government, even serving several kings during the course of his leadership role. In fact, in the 6th chapter, you find Daniel was the most favored of the 120 prime ministers that were appointed in that day. And as a result of that, his enemies searched through his trash can, looked through his emails, used the Secret Service and the CIA and the FBI and the other thugs with badges to try to find fault with Daniel. And the Scripture says he was faultless. He didn't get frightened because of the law that says you can't pray. He prayed three times a day as he had four times, the Scripture says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. He didn't say, "I've got to bend because the government says this." He honored God in his life, in his ministry, and his service. And that's my challenge to Christians today, Jim, is that we recognize there's not been a bifurcation, a separation. Everything that you find from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21 was in the confines of some type political system of that day, and yet those that were the God-fearers of the Old Testament, the Christians of the New Testament, took a stand and still live for the Lord. And as was found in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God and not government. And I'm not saying we need to be tyrannical. I'm not saying we need to be somebody that's trying to overthrow the government, but we need to recognize what the government is, that God instituted government in the 9th chapter of Genesis. God instituted and set up civil government in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7, to prosecute evil and protect good. We've reversed that. We've turned it upside down in society today. There ought not to be a bifurcation and a separation. We need to see government as God's ordained servants to God. And if they're not serving God, we ought not to have them in office. We're not to vote for them, ought not to reelect them. What say you, Jim?
I say amen, and I'd like to add one other point there.
Go right ahead.
Luke, Luke was a meticulous historian. If you read through Acts and through Luke, he outlines every single individual all the way from Jerusalem up through Asia Minor, the roles of the governments that were in there, and documents not only Jesus Christ, but he documents the apostles as well. And it's just a fascinating view into the inner workings of government and religion. It's worthy of a deep study any way you look at it, but you're absolutely correct, sir. We should vet our candidates.
Absolutely, and I believe it's time we do that as Christians if we want to have a moral, ethical, biblical foundation to be continued in our nation. Jim, brother, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I listened to a rabbi this morning. He was reading out of Romans 1, and he was saying how our churches now are trying to indoctrinate the LGBTQXYZ, whatever they want to call themselves, into the church. Okay, I mean, I don't have a problem, but they have to repent first, I believe.
Well, you know, Kenneth, you're exactly right. In fact, I'll not call the name for the sake of not seeming to be destructive or demeaning, but a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention several years ago made the statement, and I quote, "Christian churches need to embrace the LGBTQ agenda, bring them into our churches, let them be part of leadership in our churches." That is absolutely fallacious. It's like saying we're going to, old cliche back in my era, was putting a wolf in the hen house, going to destroy the hens. It's like putting panther or whatever it would be in the cage or the pasture with the cows to see them slaughtered and murdered. That is not, if a person, if that is the past lifestyle, if they've said yes to Jesus Christ, the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not have anything in it that would be damaging, dangerous, and or that is deceitful or decaying of the body of Christ that is found in the sodomite lifestyle. It is something that is antithetical to biblical Christianity, to biblical truth. But most pastors and rabbis and others and religious leadership want to see the numbers, nickels, and noses. They're looking for filling the pews. They're looking for filling the coffers. They're looking for the net bottom line of dollars coming into the coffers. That is the wrong viewpoint of modern Christianity and what we need to do as servants of God. We need to honor Him, honor His Word, preach His Word, teach His Word without bowing, without bending, without fear, or without favor, and stand on the truth of the Word of God. And that's the problem in today's society. There's, and it goes, the bent, the bottom line is, as Frank and Graham called it, the woke progressive Christianity. It's sending people to hell, and yet it sounds moral, it sounds biblical, sounds spiritual, that we're going to embrace everybody, bring everybody into the shelter. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not for everybody. Hear me. It's for the saved person. It's not for the lost. The saved people in the church are to go to church to be edified, encouraged, and trained to go out into the world to reach the lost in the world, preach, teach the gospel, bring them back into the household of faith called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, and I'm praying that somehow, some way, it'll be effective for the listeners of this broadcast each and every day to know that how urgent this vote is, this midterm election, that we're going to vote based on biblical values, based on a biblical worldview, and not based on a politician smooth conversation like El Sayed that's running for office. It's an open socialist, Marxist, communist, jihadist, and it's very dangerous for America. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I agree with your statement. We have to vet the candidates. But there's another issue that is even more important. We need to vet the voters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how great a candidate we have if cheating throws off the election. There's no reason to have even one single illegal vote. So it is the system we also need to vet. we cannot accept systems in different states that are simply corrupt. We know nobody's perfect, but once we select the least imperfect person or the lesser evil, then even then, let's hold them accountable for whatever they should be doing. I would apply that to the gubernatorial nominee now. He's the lesser evil, in my opinion, or not as the best candidate, but now we have to support him and make him do the right thing. I think it's very wrong just to agree with Trump on everything. Trump is right many times, but when Trump is wrong, let's tell him, hey, you're wrong. Correct your stupid mistake. So let us vet the voters to have honest elections.
Absolutely. And Derby, you're saying that brings to mind, we've had several states, I believe it's 26 states, that have filed suit against the Trump administration refusing to clean their voter rolls. We've had some of the states, one in particular, that's had several hundred thousand, or several thousand, I should say, illegal illegal invaders on the voting rolls to vote. And she wound up saying, well, you know, most of them didn't vote, so there's no problem. Now, Trump has, with executive orders, it's been tried in the courts. The courts upheld a portion of what he wanted to do, and that is to use the United States Postal Service. Here's the point. You're familiar with it. I want your response to it. Here's the, all of the states that are required to turn in a list of all of the names and addresses of those that have asked for mail-in ballots. That information is given to the United States Post Office for them to go through with the barcode approach to search and determine, does that person exist? Is that the same right address? Or is it just a mailbox, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? For the U.S. Post Office to be an arm of the Oval Office, if you will, to try to clean our voting up before the election time. We've also had several other opportunities for President Trump by executive order and some partial passage by the U.S. Supreme Court of some of the things that he's attempted to do to get clean elections. I'm looking at one headline that says, not an oversight. State makes a shocking admission about non-citizen voting. It's not every day that the state scaffolds admit on the record that they are deliberately refusing to follow the law, but that's apparently what is happening in a dispute over election records and votes. And it goes back to the point that I've just made. I believe that we need to have, and right now there's another issue that Trump has brought up that I believe the courts will uphold, that if you do not agree to turn in your voter rolls and you clean them up, you cannot get federal funds for voting. Tell me your thoughts on those two things.
Well, I would like to blame the Justice Department for not prosecuting the illegal voters. There is no reason to have one single illegal voter. But if they break the law and nothing happens, then they will continue to do it. So where are the arrests and prosecutions of those who broke the law by voting illegally, whether illegal alien or legal resident? If you're not a citizen, you cannot vote, period. Let's enforce the law and arrest and punish severely anyone that breaks any election law.
That should be the law of the land. That should be carried out. You're exactly right. But we know that in election after election after election, there have been several events that's been proven where a person voted in more than one state, where a person voted more than one time under different names and different addresses, and they were wrapped on the knuckles. Some of them had trials. Some of them had fines, but there was not any incarceration as a result of being found guilty. So it demands, again, it goes back to sound, I sound like a broken record, but it demands that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we pray, we vet the candidates, and we make sure as much as possible that we have election equipment. Recently, the DOJ, President Trump's DOJ, discovered, listen carefully, and you might want to comment on it, that the voting machines, some of the mechanisms within the voting machines made by China, they did, in fact, get interfered with during the 2020 election. That's been discovered. That's fact. Already been uncovered. And yet, there's a requirement now with Trump, the Trump administration, that after a vote is taken, then any recount that's done should be done with paper ballots and not just simply going back to the machine, examining the paper ballots. And I agree with that. There needs to be a vetting of the voting system as much as it is vetting of the candidates before the vote is taken place. That's the only way we'll have clean elections. That's the only way we'll know the will of the people. And by the way, it goes back to the will of the people certainly was not 81 million votes for Sleepy Joe Biden. It was a farce, a fake, a phony, just as much as the vote election of Barack Obama was a fake, phony election with an illegal person that's not a wasn't a U.S. citizen. So enough said for that. But Derby, you're right. We need to pray and vet the candidate, vet the voting, and be ready to vote November the 3rd. Thank you so much for your calling, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe is vital, and I believe it is timely. I believe it is incumbent upon every Christian, conservative, and patriot today to stand up, speak up, be vocal, be visible, and be victorious in standing for truth. The truth of the Word of God, the truth of what needs to be done in society today. The issue today, is there a division between the political and Christian? And the answer ought to be unequivocally no. Each of these issues that so often are called, well, it's a political issue, I can't get involved, that is simply not true at all. Every one of the issues that I've heard in my lifetime about ballot initiatives and about these things that we need to think on, they're initiatives, there are issues that affect the Christian and the Christian life. For example, we have just recently, in the past few days, Governor Ron DeSantis that just said no to the flock cameras in the state of Florida. He said, no, we can't have them. We're not going to use them. We're not going to have them in our state. Here's the article in relationship to what Governor DeSantis said. Let me just read it briefly. Governor Ron DeSantis, DOT, FDOT, is hereby taking down flock cameras statewide over privacy concerns in state rights away. All existing permits for automated license plate readers, even installed by local law enforcement in the state highway right-of-way, are revoked by FDOT, that's Florida Department of Transportation. Is also ceasing the issuance, that is issuing, of all future requests for the LPR system cameras within its judiciary authority. It goes on. What's going on? DeSantis said, I don't want to have this to become a surveillance state. I see police officers using this to track their ex-girlfriends. I'm all about having law enforcement tools to be able to hold criminals accountable. That was his position. And I'm thankful that we find today, ladies and gentlemen, that there are those that will say that is a good deal for the Floridians. I'm against the Flock cameras. Flock is the name of the organization. Started in 2016, I believe it was, or 2017, by a couple of young kids, young men in the state of Georgia over in Atlanta. And they have now, I believe it's 120,000 across the nation. I believe there's some, 94,000, something like that. And that's jumped about 120,000. There are thousands and thousands of them in Duval County. Here's what the sheriff said. Sheriff T.K. Waters shared this statement regarding license plate readers. Quote, as the elected sheriff of Duval County, it is my responsibility to listen to the concerns of all the citizens and act accordingly. Today, the Florida Department of Transportation announced the revocation of the permits and licenses it provided to law enforcement agencies for the use of license plate readers technology on the state roads. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office will fully comply with the FDOT's directive. Additionally, at my direction, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office will discontinue to use LPR technology throughout all of Duval County, effective immediately. LTR technology has proven to be an enormously valuable investigative tool, assisting our agency in solving serious crimes and locating missing and vulnerable children. However, given the decision made by the state level and the concern expressed by members of our community, speaking of Jacksonville, I have determined that discontinuing the use of this technology is the appropriate course of action at this time. So I applaud our sheriff, I applaud our governor for doing so. Here's the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, it invades our Fourth Amendment right of no search, no seizure without a warrant. And yet we find with the flock cameras, they are invading our privacy. You realize with the flock camera, when your car goes through it and the next flock camera on that same highway, it clocks your speed, reports whether or not you're speeding. It can do a facial recognition. And this morning's early morning news, one of the founders of flock cameras said, no, we don't do facial recognition. That's an absolute lie. The cameras recognize the faces, does the digital recreation of that. It's stored in the cameras. It's the camera system. Those camera systems, the footages are stored. And according to the reports that I have read, and I've got a fistful of articles on that, they're selling that data, selling that information, renting that information to other organizations, including homeowners associations. Coral Gables, Florida, already planning on putting in the flock cameras on all the garbage trucks going through the communities so it can surveil the citizens and determine whether or not they're remodeling without a permit, whether or not they're putting a roof on without a permit, whether they're cutting the grass or not cutting the grass. I could go on and on and on. It puts our nation and the citizen states that adhere to that under the surveillance of a system that we know without any question will be used, according to Revelation chapter 13, by the Antichrist when he sits on his throne, if you will, and dominates and controls the whole world. It looks as though he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, but will be using the tools that we're creating and putting in place today for the Antichrist to use them. So I'm thankful from the Christian perspective, from the Christian and conservative standpoint and our concerns that this is off the table, at least for now, for the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, go back to an article in closing. Here's an article that illustrates the danger of not vetting a candidate and putting a Islamic jihadist into office. Islamic suspect in murder case sent to the mental health facilities, gets a pass, then flies out of America. Ladies and gentlemen, he murdered someone, and I'll not read the article, times won't allow. He murdered someone. He's caught, tried, convicted for the murder, but it was said that he was insane. They put him in a state institution in Virginia. I believe it was 6 months later. He was released, got on a plane, flew to Dallas, Texas, got on a plane from Dallas and flew overseas. He's disappeared into the world. That's because we did not have teeth into the laws that will allow the law to do what the law needs to do to protect we the people. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my delight to be with you today. Looking forward as we continue to face the issues time after time. Again, it goes back. There's no division between moral, ethical, Christian, and political. We need to vote for the candidate that stands for God. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.